It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Allen in the shotgun takes the snap. Three-man rush in the end zone to Mac Hollins for the touchdown. The barefoot wonder with an 8-yard touchdown reception. Rodgers looking to load up. Fires deep, rainbow down the field, looking for Mike Williams, and it's intercepted! Taron Johnson, welcome back! Cook gets the handoff, going to try to get the corner. He's got it to the 5, and to the front pylon! He's in for a touchdown! A 7-yard touchdown run! Looking deep down the right sideline, he overshot it, and it's intercepted! Picked off by Christian Benford in the pocket, and he's sacked! Taken down by Ed Oliver! Ride 'em, cowboy!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Wow. When you're playing the Titans, the music's got to be, it's got to hit.
Yes.
The Titans.
The Titans should be menacing.
Sure. It's good. You know what? All this stuff about how I hate every single team name that comes out. I think the Titans is a good one. The Tennessee Titans is a good name. The Kraken, terrible. The Utah is about to be the Yeti. It's going to be terrible. Titans, good. There's our last good team name.
That was the last one? It was 1997?
It might be. Yes.
Since then has been better? What about the Texans? You were against that?
That's fine. It's Houston Texans? It's kind of dumb, but it's fine.
What about the Columbus Blue Jackets?
Actually, that's fine, too.
Okay. The Minnesota Wild.
Eh.
That's a bad one. Their own fans hate that one. I'm not even kidding. There's like, that's a thing. Who else has been invented since then? Invented. The
Golden Knights?
The Golden Knights.
It's okay.
Technically the Jets, but it's like a comeback.
That's a comeback.
They weren't invented.
It's Football Friday, brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way. I have a great trivia question we'll get to before this segment is out, but you know, Football Friday, we'll get things started for Bills and Titans, your expectations, kind of reset where we are. If you want to give us a call, 803-0550, our phone number. I am overly confident. No cautious optimism here, reckless optimism with this game. Will Levis is bad. He's fun, but he's bad fun.
Yeah,
he's going to give the Bills the ball multiple times. He's going to get sacked a bunch. Mm-hmm. He averages 140 yards passing a game. The Bills are healthier. The Bills are in a good spot. I think Amari Cooper will play. Why can't he just get the MVS role? MVS had 9 targets on the season.
He just ran straight.
Yeah.
Get safeties to back up. It's all he would ever do.
Hey, here's your set of 12 plays we're going to have you in for. Really, here's 12 plays. Here's your role.
Yeah.
I think Cooper will get in this game. I don't know if he'll, you know, blow up or anything. Another thing to watch for, we talked about it with Sal. Khalil Shakir, full participant, maybe no pitch count for him this week. We'll see how that goes. If he matches up with L'Jarius Sneed, who has been a great slot corner in his career at times, is not having a good year, even though they're having a good season overall.
Well, the thing, too, that lines up here will be interesting about their wide receiver usage is, one, how much does Cooper play? Because if Cooper were not going to play a full workload, or if he were not going to play a lot, Valdes-Scantling was on the field a lot. Like, he was not getting targets, but he was out there, and he was the guy that was playing out wide, so he's not even on the roster anymore. So if Cooper's not going to get a full complement of snaps, then you're going to see, I think you're going to see Tyrell Shavers in this game.
Yeah.
Like, that's just it. That's the guy that's left. That's the outside receiver, unless Mac Hollins and Keon Coleman are on the field for every single play.
There's a little bit on Sneed, back to him. Like, he held Jaden Reed and Tyreek Hill to 0 yards, but again, who did they play?
Yeah.
Malik Willis and Skylar Thompson. I think they've been all right. Sneed has also missed practice 2 days in a row, so consider that.
Okay.
803-0550, our number on Bills-Titans, what you expect, what you think about this game. Bills are the biggest favorite in the league, home. The kicker conversation is an interesting one. If you missed our conversation with Sal about what the Bills do at kicker, you know, would they elevate their new practice squad kicker because you want to get him some game kicks? Like, how close are they to trying something else? Because Joe, if they wanted to try another kicker kicking the ball during games, they would do that before they cut Tyler Bass or did anything with Tyler Bass. You're not just going to completely bail on Bass. You would lose your job. I would think about it. I know it's not exactly the same, but you know, if UPL has a rough couple games, Levi goes in. You don't just waive UPL. And in the NFL, it's obviously different from a cap standpoint, but you're not about to just say, well, that's it for Tyler Bass because he had a bad month. You might put him on the bench because he's having a bad month and hope he can get it back. So, tough times for Tyler Bass. I don't know if they would dress another kicker and have him at the ready. It's the opening drive, and Bass shanks the first one. Okay, Haversick gets the next.
It's been a bad month, or has it been a bad year or two for him, though? Like, how long's it been? It wasn't this bad last year, but he had a down year last year.
He did, especially from distance. He does not really give you... While the NFL has gone towards 50-plus,
yeah,
is... Not quite a lock, but guys hit 50-plus all the time now.
I looked this up a couple weeks ago. I don't remember exactly, but it was around this. That in like the last, since he entered the league in 2020, he's like the second worst kicker from beyond 50 in the league.
Yeah, so you basically have, you don't have a weapon that other teams do.
Right, and now he's missing the short ones, which you got to do one of the two. So, like, I don't know that you couldn't just cut him. Like, what am I really losing out on? I'm losing out on... I don't know how much confidence you're going to have that it's going to get back to where it was 3 years ago. 2022 is really what I want to look at for that. I don't know. I'm really thinking about the trade idea because this guy they brought in from the Rams, like he has the same field goal percentage and extra point percentage as Bass has had while he's been struggling the most.
Yeah.
So like I'm not expecting this Haversick guy to come in and be the answer. I think he's going to give you probably what Bass has, which is super inconsistent kicking. I think the only way you're getting better there is if you are trading for somebody at the deadline. And I looked it up. Since 2020, which is when Bass entered the league, just coincidentally, there have been 7 kicker trades in the league. Every single one of them was for a 7th-round pick. So 7 times in the last 4 years, a kicker has been traded for a 7th-round pick. Tell me it's not more warranted than ever to trade a 7th-round pick for a kicker on a team whose kicker is really bad right now and the roster looks pretty complete again. And you're big four in the AFC and you're Super Bowl contention. You're going to make the playoffs almost undoubtedly. Who is a kicker trade never made more sense for when it's only going to cost you like a 7th? And I think those trades should probably be easy because, again, like, they happen in the league. How many bad teams are going to be out of it by Halloween that are going to be like, you want to trade for our kicker? I mentioned this week's opponent, Nick Folk. Tennessee's 40 years old. If they're bad, if they're 1-6, what are they going to care? Free 7th-round pick for a guy that's about to retire probably anyway, and you could probably find 5 more other examples of that in the league. Like I think I really would want to predict that what's going to happen here is they're going to trade for one, and Bass is going to be off the team before the month's over.
Can they afford to do that? Cut him?
I think they can because Cooper didn't cost them a lot now.
Man.
But that would kind of count as your move. Like Sal brought up a receiver, right? Like you could probably find a way to trade for DeAndre Hopkins if you wanted to. But you got to pick. Hey, what do I want to use? I've got a few million dollars to use here before the deadline. I got a little bit of cap space. What do I want to use it on? Do I want to use it on another receiver? Do I want to use it on a safety? Or do I want to use it on Tyler Bass's dead cap so I can replace him? You might only be able to do one of those things. You might say, hey, if we do want to add a safety, then we can't replace Bass. He's got to stay on the team.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. If you want to join us, get that trivia question in a moment based on last night's Broncos win over the Saints. And Chris Brown coming up at 8:30 as well. Let's connect with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Gina in Delaware. Hey, Gina, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Football Friday. So this morning, you guys cracked me up. I wake up to all these noises. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, Sabres won. They got to have won. And then I'm like, oh, no, that just means get out of the way, Sabres. You're dead in the water. And the meant all the teams going by them. So you know what they need? They need, in all due respect, they need a good Neil lashing. They're lucky that Neil doesn't follow the Sabres. because Neil is very passionate when he calls in. It's all due respect to Neil. This is not a cut against Neil. They need a Neil Lashing. And if that doesn't work, yeah, let's get ridiculous. Can I get stupid and ridiculous for a half a second? You know what we should do that we've never done before? You know, the four in a row, never won the Super Bowl. 900 games, 900 years, guys. Let's sell them and give all the money to Pegula to put it in the Bills. And let's go to the Super Bowl, baby. Let's go to the Super Bowl. So let's get crazy. I want to wish all of my people at Millard a happy case management week because we rock as case managers. I want to say go Bills. Let's not put too much pressure on Amari Cooper. Let's welcome him to the family. But let's, like Sal said, let's just go with it. They're not going to change the world for him because Amari Cooper is on our team. Yes, very happy to have him. Welcome, Amari. But let's just roll with what we're doing. But let's not get too cocky because crazy things do happen. Go Bills!
Thanks, Gina. Not going to change the world for Cooper. I think it'll just... It's always kind of been this way with the receiver conversation in this offense, which is like organically, I think he will be Allen's number one / favorite target, whatever. But if he means they roll more 11 personnel because they want him on the field, what percentage of snaps was he playing in Cleveland? You've got the numbers,
Cooper?
For that. Yeah, because Bills receivers and snap counts, right? You had Mac Hollins playing a lot of snaps and also sometimes special teams. And like Cooper, I feel like, will he lead the receivers in snaps? This is a guy that should be on the field a lot.
So he this year, and by the way, that doesn't have to happen because remember, Gabe Davis would play more snaps than Diggs would.
Mm-hmm.
But Diggs would get, you know, triple or double the targets. Cooper, 89% for the Browns this year.
Okay, 89% of the snaps. And the Bills receiver that leads in snaps has been Mac Hollins. I mean, that's
no, it's been Coleman.
Coleman.
Coleman's been on the field every play.
And the number is not 89%. Is it? Is it that high?
Looking now.
He got benched for a quarter, so that might be a part of it.
Yeah. Right, for being late in the...
Right.
What game was that?
That was the Jacksonville game.
Jacksonville game. Yeah, I'm finding that now, but I think he's close to it.
Okay. I'm sure it's not as simple as give all of Coleman's role to Cooper and give Holland's role to Coleman... But I do feel like it should be something like that.
Well, it depends how much they still want to run the football. Because if they still want to run the football, who's the guy they like for that right now? Do they like Coleman on the field for that because of blocking? Are they just going to throw Amari Cooper in to that spot? If they're going to be the 12th in the league in pass rate, which is around, I think, where they are right now, like you're a team that cares more about running the football. And if you care more about running the football, you want your receivers to block. I don't actually know how good Cooper is at that. So here it is. Coleman this year, no, it's at 64%.
Okay, so he leads receivers at 64, and Cooper comes
Hollins
in
at 63.
Comes in at 89.
89, yeah.
So
he should lead them.
In snaps.
Yeah. He should.
Maybe not week one, but isn't the idea that he will be your number one snap wide receiver?
You know, you asked this question yesterday on Twitter, like, who will lead the Bills in receptions the rest of the way? The answer should be Cooper. Cooper is their best player, not named Josh Allen on offense. No? Right now, he is their best player outside of Josh Allen on the offensive side of the football. I think that's fair, and I think I want him getting the football more than players that aren't as good as him. Can it be that simple? Coleman's a rookie. Hollins is a special team guy. Shakir is nice. Kincaid is nice, but we're talking about a 7-time Pro Bowler that as recently as the end of last year was looking like one of the 10 best receivers maybe in the league.
Yeah.
Like he deserves, if he's playing well and if he figures it out with Josh and they build a rapport, like I don't even care if it's by volume. Maybe the answer could still be Kincaid because he's not going to jump off the page right away and it takes a little bit of time. How about by the end of the year? By the time they enter the playoffs, I want to believe that he is getting the most targets, that he's getting the most catches, the most yards, because I think he's their best player. Immediately.
Well, this gets to one of the things we always talk about, which is when they built a team that had probably too many options in the slot, we would say, well, if you go to 12, what happens? Does Shakir come off the field?
Right.
And then it was my receivers on the outside are Coleman and Hollins and two tight ends. I wonder if the biggest drop in snap count
Like, whose snaps drop the most? You could say MVS because he's off the team.
Right, Hollins, which was like 40%.
Right. Hollins is an answer, of course. Coleman could see a dip. I wonder about Dawson Knox. I wonder about 12 versus 11. I wonder if Kincaid and Knox both see a dip because they go to more three-receiver sets than they have been. That would be a turn in the direction that I feel like they should always have gone.
Right. It would be more phasing Knox out of the offense a little bit, I think. Right? Like, you want to play more 11 personnel? I mean,
I'm not sure that they want to. What they wanted was a guy on the outside. And we'll see, because now you have, I think, three receivers people are going to like or want to see, or you're going to want to get the ball to. That's Cooper, Shakir, and Coleman. And if I'm still in 12, then I've got to have either, you know, Shakir or Coleman off the field.
Right.
And that's not even to say Mac Hollins. It really is amazing how...
But he's someone that should never... Like, Knox comes out when it's 11 personnel, but he's on when it's 12.
Yeah.
And Kincaid, by the way, comes out sometimes too, like on run plays. He's only at 65%. Coleman's a rookie, so how much do you want on his plate? Shakir is more of a slot guy, so if I'm in 12 personnel and I've got two receivers on the outside, then I probably want him off the field. Like, Hollins, you might just want off the field in general. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you can kind of go down the list and say, okay, well, this situation, like, you can find different packages where it makes sense for all of them to be off the field, and I don't know if there's ever a spot where it makes sense for Cooper to not be on the field.
Yeah, it's what we're getting at is, you know, as Gina said, they're not going to rearrange the world for him. I feel like we just kind of laid out that they will, but that just naturally happens, and it's amazing how one receiver at the top of the food chain makes everything else different. I mean, not just in the way that teams cover you, but we just went through all snap count stuff, how it's all going to change. And, you know, Cooper, he comes in getting 89%. Okay, maybe he's down to 70%. Wouldn't you put his low end at 70?
Yes. I think you're investing this in him, too. Like, they gave up a day two pick for a guy that could walk after the year. They could tag him.
Yeah.
But... he could walk. Like, the investment says, like, they are going to plan on making him a focal point. Or like, they think he's good enough that he'll just naturally demand that. You don't have to work to get him the football. Like, if he's just good and getting open, he's going to be on the field and he's going to be getting the football.
Mark and Tonawanda up next. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Man, I just back to Paul Hamilton's, just how depressing is the Sabres team? My gosh. But that's not why I called. I love the idea of getting a guy like Adam Thielen in on this Bills team. I think if Brandon Bean calls Dan Morgan, offers him something for him, just it allows everybody to kind of move over. Maybe put Coleman in the slot to get a mismatch for his abilities and just see what he can do there. And I just think Shakir dealing with that ankle injury. Ankles are tough to kind of recover from, but I wonder what you guys think. Coming up and listen. Thanks, Wes.
Thanks, Mark. If there's a Carolina receiver I want, it would be Deontay Johnson. Thielen's all slot these days.
He's mostly slot,
and,
yeah.
You know, regarding Shakir's injury, if he gets hurt again, you might be looking to get some help there. But he's been a full participant, and I think it's trending towards him being...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay.
I guess I'm not...
And we forgot Curtis Samuel even exists,
I was just going to bring him up. I think I'm not thinking a lot about receiver again because I feel like if you do another move, Rick, Samuel is under contract for more than 1 year.
It's a three-year deal, like it's going to be at least 2 years.
Yeah. So Shakir is more of a slot guy at this point. And, okay, if I go trade for Adam Thielen, Adam Thielen's going to play a certain amount, and he's going to be my insurance in the slot, and I've got Coleman, I've got Hollins. I feel like I'm eliminating Samuel from the picture if that happens. And I'm not saying that isn't, you know, crazy, because he has not done anything really for them. He did make a play against the Jets, but he is under contract for 3 years.
Yep.
And really, it's more like a two-year deal. But I don't know. We're quitting on that 6 games in completely? He's not even going to be in the rotation? That's, to me, what trading for another receiver would mean.
803-0550. You want this trivia I tease very fast?
Yes.
We'll get it before the break. I think it's great trivia. So here's your instant trivia.
Okay.
Last night, the Broncos beat the Saints. Sean Payton beat the Saints. That means he has beaten all 32 NFL teams.
Oh, wow.
He becomes the 8th coach to beat all 32 NFL teams. Who are the other 7? 7 other coaches have beaten all 32 NFL teams. Of course, I'll let you think amongst yourselves for a minute. You're going to have to coach for a long time. And, of course, had to move teams. Right. Coach 1 or 2 or 3 teams over the years. There are 7 others that have beat all 32 teams.
Okay, I'm going to guess Belichick beat the Patriots while he was in Cleveland.
That is correct. Bill Belichick has beaten all 32 teams.
Andy Reid.
Correct.
Sean McDermott?
No,
he's only coached 1 team.
Oh, that's right.
Mike McCarthy?
No.
Okay.
I was thinking about McDermott's time in Philadelphia, but he wasn't a head coach there.
Pete Carroll?
No.
Wow, really? Coach forever. Parcells?
Yes. Parcells is a yes. 4 left. Coaches that have beaten all 32 NFL teams.
What about... No, it wouldn't be a Harbaugh here.
None of these guys are active coaches.
None are active. Okay, no. What about, like, Tom Coughlin?
No.
Mike Shanahan.
Yes, Mike Shanahan is correct. When we get to Hintland, I'll give you the teams they coached.
Ooh, what about, speaking of the Titans, what about Jeff Fisher?
No.
No? He coached a long time.
You just showed a lot of faith in Jeff Fisher beating a lot of teams.
He coached forever, and he won 7 games every year. I mean, I guess not.
3 left.
Are they all legends?
Not really. Legends. One of them is, one is knocking on the door of legend. The other two are, they are all... 2 of the 3 are Super Bowl winners.
2 of the 3 are Super Bowl winners. What about Tony Dungy?
Correct.
Okay. Bucks and Colts.
Yep. 2 left. Have beaten all 32 NFL teams.
Super Bowl. There's another Super Bowl
winner. One more here. Super Bowl winner.
This would not be the Super Bowl winner, but Marty Schottenheimer?
No.
Who's the Broncos coach with Manning winning the Super Bowl? Is it John Fox? No, that's Kubiak that wins it, is it?
That's correct. But okay. John Fox is right.
Oh, he is?
John Fox is correct.
Should have stuck with it.
Yep.
Okay, but he wasn't the Super Bowl winner.
No, John Fox is correct. He's beaten all 32 teams. And the one left. Okay. 8 coaches have beaten all 32 NFL teams.
One left. Who coached a long time? Oh, you know who coached a really long time? What about Dick Vermeil?
No.
Guy coached for like 50 years.
You want the 2 teams? You'll get it.
Sure.
Packers and Seahawks.
Mike Holmgren.
Yes. Those are your 8 coaches that have beaten all 32 NFL teams.
Holmgren, Belichick, Parcells.
Reed,
trying to redo the list. I just named so many coaches.
Reed, Dungy, Shanahan, Fox. Okay. Yep.
Who's next?
I don't know. Who's the next coach? Harbaugh?
I bet McCarthy.
I mean, Jim Harbaugh. I don't know if
Jim Harbaugh.
You basically have to have won a lot and then go somewhere else.
He wasn't in the Niners very long.
It doesn't matter. If he beats the Niners, he's on the list of like, okay, now he can start to do it.
Yeah, right.
It just takes time.
But I'm wondering like who might be 1 team away.
Right. Chris Brown, Bills play-by-play man, joins us. When we get back, it's a Football Friday. We'll continue taking your calls as we gear up for Bills and Titans. It's Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Sub, start your game day the Crosby's way.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hard-working men and women.
Football Friday on WGR. Jeremy and Joe with you, gearing up for a Sunday 1 o'clock game. The temperature looks tremendous. It'll be good to be back at home at Highmark Stadium, checking on the progress of the canopy. Chris Brown joining us on the Western Hotline. Chris, I'm excited to see the canopy. I don't think I've been down to see it in a couple of weeks, at least not until since the last Bills home game.
Yeah, it's coming along. I would say on the far side of the stadium, they're almost all the way around on that side. So, yeah, a lot of progress.
Yeah. Exciting times, you know, like it's this stuff going on, not just the team. They won in New York, big win for them. But the Amari Cooper trade made this week a lot more exciting. A lot of Bills fans. I thought it was interesting. You know, when we talked on Monday after they beat the Jets, everybody was pretty happy. But there was this undercurrent of, I think they really do need that receiver, though. And sure enough, within 24 hours, they go out and get the job done.
Right. And really, Amari Cooper as a potential target just made way too much sense. You know, the Bills bit the salary cap bullet this offseason with trading Diggs and, you know, taking a $31 million hit. And then they had, you know, other cap casualties that they had to throw overboard, you know, like Mitch Morse and others. So they really just bit the bullet this year. So to take on, you know, the salary of another primetime receiver, you know, with $25, $30 million, that's just something that was not realistic. So Amari Cooper is the perfect answer. You know, $800,000 on your salary cap that you inherit, I mean, it's more than manageable. And, you know, you're getting a premier receiver who still can get it done in this league.
It feels like this week has been learning about Cooper as a very well-respected veteran by pretty much everybody in the league.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Five Pro Bowls and what is it? Seven 1,000-yard seasons. That'll kind of put a stamp on you as pretty darn good in this league. Not to mention the fact that, I mean, he had his most productive season last year with 1,250 yards with two different quarterbacks in Watson and Flacco. So, I mean, it's not like, well, you know, this guy was really good as a younger player. We're hoping to get something out of him. I mean, the guy is still operating at a top shelf level. So, now, knowing he's probably playing with the best quarterback he's ever played with, you know, the expectations are pretty high right now. And it was interesting to see Coach McDermott and even Josh Allen trying to temper expectations, you know, knowing the undertaking that Amari Cooper takes on here, you know, trying to catch on midseason with what is known as a voluminous offensive playbook.
How much, if it really starts getting going, Chris, maybe this is more for down the road, how the season ends or looks at the end, how much different would you expect their offense to look versus what it's looked in the first six games? Like, they are running the ball more this year, and I don't know that I would want to think that changes too much. But I'm looking at some of Allen's numbers. I saw this earlier, like him being under 200 yards per game, just the passing offense when it's called upon to be more efficient, like how much of an impact and a change do you think Cooper will have on the rest of it?
Yeah, I think he'll change, you know, the ability for this offense to stay on schedule, the ability for this offense to convert on third down, which has been a problem since the beginning of the season. I mean, they're down in the lower third of the league in third down conversion rate, although it was a little better last week. So I think he helps in those areas. I think the area where it's going to be most noticeable is in the middle of the field, because these last 3 weeks when they have played better pass defenses, and they're going to play another one this week, basically their approach is we're going to play man coverage on the outside and close down the middle of the field to Kincaid and Shakir, because we don't believe your outside receivers can win one-on-one against our guys. And that's been pretty effective. So, you know, talking to Brandon Bean yesterday, who will be our pregame interview on the Bills Radio Network Sunday, he basically said to me, I just need to try in my position as general manager to have as many answers on for our offensive unit for whatever a defense can throw at you. And obviously Amari Cooper provides you with a lot more answers.
Chris Brown joining us on the Western Hotline. We talk a lot about the offense. Defensively, it's funny, like talking about this team. They've been pretty good, but they're giving up a lot of chunk plays and explosive plays. And I wonder,
yeah,
you know, as Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich like zero in on how things are going for their defense, it's also a unit that's in transition. They've had some injuries. They're getting those players back. What's the diagnosis, I guess? What's the way to figure out why and how to stop those big plays from happening?
Yeah, if I had that answer, I'd be qualified to be an NFL coach. But look, I mean, I think they're dicing up the film. They're trying to figure out, is this a communication issue? Is this an execution issue? And I think some of the disjointed nature of who has been in the lineup and out of the lineup is a big part of this. I think we know that over the course of many years, this defense has been the best in the league in preventing big plays. But here we are Monday night, and there's eight more against them by the Jets. So that has to get fixed. Otherwise, teams are going to continue to drive the field on you and put points on the board. And we've seen in games already where there's been maybe a half where they've looked a little leaky, and then they fix it, whether it's halftime adjustments or what have you. I mean, yes, Zuerlein missed two field goals, but the defense, once again, in the second half, clamped down precipitously on the Jets, and they did the same thing with the Texans. So how you do that for 60 minutes, I think, is the task at hand now for Bobby Babich and this defensive unit. And look, the schedule gets a little softer here these next few weeks. You're not facing juggernaut offenses, so maybe it starts to look a little better, but I think they do want to get a fix so they look like the defense we've become accustomed to seeing over the years under Sean McDermott, playing a 60-minute game instead of 30 or 40 minutes.
Without treating an opponent like they're inferior, overlooking them, a get-right game, Tennessee might be what the doctor ordered. Will Levis has been rough, and I expect him to have a rough day on Sunday.
Yeah, he's probably walking into a hornet's nest this week, and if Ed Oliver's playing, I think it's an insurmountable problem for Tennessee's offense. You know, they're obviously going to try to run the ball with Tony Pollard, who's been productive for them, even though they've been largely rendered one-dimensional most of the weeks that they have played. It's crazy to think that, you know, they have household names in their receiving core like Tyler Boyd and DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley, and yet these guys have been unable to produce because the trigger man can't get them the football. So I think, again, they lean on their run game, hope it keeps them on schedule, and then hope Will Levis can let the game come to him instead of trying to make the amazing happen every single play.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline. Chris, thanks very much. We'll hear from you on Sunday.
All right, take care, guys.
You can also hear from him on One Bills Live later today. Chris Brown's appearance on Football Friday is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, the official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. Football Friday, that's brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We've got more coming up. We've got a Titans guest, Tyler Rowland, coming up at 9:30. Tell us about Tennessee's season at this point, expecting Stevie Johnson to pop in. We'll get his thoughts on the Amari Cooper trade as well. Jeremy and Joe on a Football Friday.
Let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. Enter now, WGR550.com. Chance to win $1,200. Contest ends January 5th. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence. Powering tomorrow, comforting today.
Let's remember some Titans.
All right, let's do it.
Keith Bullock, Syracuse linebacker.
Good.
Loved Keith Bullock.
Great neck roll.
Yeah. Keith Bullock, he was at Syracuse when I was at Syracuse. And I'm trying to think, like, you ever rush the field in football?
No, never.
One of the things about rushing the court, rushing the field, is
you're on the field with the players, though.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And, you know, you see it happen on TV all the time. But when you're the person that's rushing the field, this would have been Syracuse, and he graduated in, yeah, he's there when I'm there. They're large people.
You're like,
woo, we beat Virginia Tech. Like, oh my goodness, Keith Bullock is a giant. Look at this guy. And basketball, that happens too. You know, I'm next to a person that's 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
Anyway, Keith Bullock. Who else?
Wesley Woodyard, another linebacker. What about like Delaney Walker? Earlier than that. I want like early 2000s. Chris Johnson, of course, is going to be like a great name here. He was awesome. CJ2K?
Yeah. Lendale White
at the same time, right? That was the same backfield, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie George. You're not a fan of Eddie George, right?
No. I think Eddie George was not a good NFL running back.
Okay.
He was a volume running back.
I think he was on the first Madden cover.
For me. 2001. He was...
Yeah.
Run and stop the run, baby. Hand this guy the ball 50 times. He just needs more carries to get going.
Yeah.
Like,
right, on the 30th carry, then he'll start.
Oh, then this will happen.
Vince Young. Who are the receivers for this team? Like, Nate Washington, who I think is now on Good Morning America. Beyond that? How about Albert Haynesworth? Who was a very mean football player. Like, stepped on a guy's head once upon a time. And then Javon Curse is another name that comes to mind for me.
The Freak.
Yep.
Haynesworth. I want one or two more. Who's a tight end that's not Frank Wycheck?
Other than, I got Delaney Walker already.
Oh, that's a good one. Jonnu Smith.
Yeah, there's like a big... tight end wearing 88 in my head, but I can't tell you who it is. Kyle Brady? Is that a different team? Maybe Baltimore? Maybe a little bit. Brian Arakpo.
Randy Moss.
Wow.
Somebody wrote in Eric Molds.
Okay, I remember that. Randy Moss.
Went to the Titans.
How many games was that?
Not many.
He played for three teams in 1 year, right? He went New England, Tennessee, then back to Minnesota, I think. He played eight games for the Titans. Wow.
Yeah. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. The Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy. Stevie Johnson is a part of it coming up on Football Friday.